Welcome to Soul to Soul Conversations. I am Satori Seals, operating as your soul guider for this podcast. So this is kicking off episode 2. And I appreciate everybody showing love on episode 1 for the initial kickoff for launching this whole Soul to Soul Conversation podcast. Truly appreciate everyone that went and followed, those of you that download the first episode, and those that gave a brother a good rating. You know, so anyone that's new checking this out, kind of just catching on, please, just show some love, follow and then give a rating. As I understand, you need to do the rating inside the app, the Spotify app, and also, in other different platforms. So officially, we're on Deezer, Amazon, Pandora, something going on with that, and then on YouTube. So just whatever platform that you are, listening, show some love, sign up so that we can get notified, on the next episodes that I begin to share. So, but again, the most important is I want to say thank you. And I appreciate everybody just showing love for the initial kickoff. So this, again, is episode 2. And as we begin to get into this episode, I just want to take time out to really just talk about the intention, some of the intentions behind Soul to Soul Conversation Podcast. I understand as we begin to dive in and go to more episodes, there's an aspect of enriching each other that I love to make sure that comes across. That enriching showing itself and people going to get clarity in life, clarity in the situation, clarity about themselves, sparking reconciliation with some things inside themselves, reconciliation inside relationships. Much everybody talks about relationship nowadays. It's like you just can't get away from it. I'm looking at it like, okay, it's time to start talking about forgiveness, start to talk about reconciliation. Let's get aligned properly. So hopefully through the Living Soul Guidance System, as I introduced to y'all, that you can begin to see those possibilities inside your life or begin to witness it with other people that you may know, or even witness people experiencing and having that level of breakthrough or that level of healing from the podcast, that's going out to on the airwaves. So I definitely want to see the spark of people getting to a sense of being able to do, self-reflection, because there's no growth, there's no change without being able to self-reflect. People be able to tap into the truth. And I don't mean like, oh, my truth. I mean just really the truth and what's happening in your life, what's happening like in general, happening in our situations. Because when there's truth present, then there's a sense of growth, a sense of realization to the point to change cycles that you desire to switch in your life. But you can't do that without the sense of truth, without a sense of reflection. So practically speaking, those are definitely some of the intentions that's behind as I meditate and think about the different variety of topics or the readings and the soul advice that I'll be, sharing with y'all through the podcast airwaves. But also, most importantly, talk about relationships. I definitely want to help spark a level of, to broaden our understanding about ourselves and our relationships, because it's not one size fit all. And so with that in mind, one of the intentions that I hold behind this, Soul to Soul Conversation Podcast is being able to help uplift and encourage individuals to cross over a level threshold inside their own limitations of understanding about themselves and relationships, to the point to understand that you actually have the freedom to customize relationships around your own soul matrix. And so that's what's very interesting, because as you tap in and get, the Living Soul profile reading, stuff like that, you begin to see there's different dynamics to you that's behind your soul, that's behind your experiences in life, behind your relationships, behind your decision making, And you begin to understand, like, yo, these are different variations of myself that's comfortable for me. And so knowing that, you now have a level of a degree of acceptance to engage with others to see where it complements, match, enhance, or also empowers you to be able, like, you know, we cool, but we you know how to properly place the relationship. I think nowadays, if we have this syndrome going on, it's all for nothing. And it's funny because when you look at the average person and the people that we engage, the reality is they're not able to meet everything that you probably need. But we're canceling out good relationships. I'm not just talking about sex, y'all. I'm talking about relationships. We're stifling ourselves because we're not recognizing some basic things about the human experience. And so we're limiting ourselves. So one of the intentions behind the Living Soul numerology, soul guidance system, is to help broaden us to understand, like, oh, wow, there's a variety of combinations that each individual walks in, and that combination match with my combination, that combination match with someone else's combination, it generates a certain reality or a certain experience in the interaction of those with those different combinations. And so knowing that, that's why I say, you know, customize your relationships around your soul matrix. Okay, so of course down the road we'll get into that, a little more details on that, but that's some things I want to kind of spark and encourage as we just start to dive deep. Okay, so today, episode 2, I already gave everyone a basic intro. I introduced you into the Living Soul soul guidance numerology system. So with that in mind, I want to venture our focus into what we're going to talk about today, and that is the soul in you. The soul in you. And what I like to do in this episode is to talk about the soul, of course, but I want to talk about the soul from the aspect of showing how it traces to specific numbers or the numerology or the math behind you and I, based upon the soul archetypes that is inside our soul profile. Now, for recap, I know I've been throwing out these different terms and stuff like that, and as we get into more episodes, I'll work hard to clarify or give understanding about each one, each term I use or phrases I use, so that you can follow. Okay. So just for recap, remember there are four numbers that are assigned to you that holds more gravity in your life. Okay. These four numbers are soul archetypes. These four numbers, each single number falls up under a astral archetype, in which we reference as the moon archetype, so a number fall up under that, a sun archetype, which another number fall up under that, an earth archetype, which a number falls up under that, and then a living soul archetype, and a number will fall up under that. Now, based on these four numbers, they can repeat themselves. You can see you have triple the same number, you can have quadruple, or you could have each number could be a singly different number. Based upon the number 1 through 9, there are 9 archetypes, and each archetype emanates certain qualities on the light side and on the shadow side. There are certain motivations inside each archetype, and each archetype, what I want to bring out today, each archetype is self-policed by governing core values, and each core value assigned to each archetype helps keep that soul archetype in its optimal state and what it emanates. So basically, you and I, there's also on the spiritual side of things, they are governing core values that will dictate how we align, how we're operating in those, if we're going to really be operating in the optimal aspect of our soul archetype versus us really defaulting more into side, the shadow side. And there's different ways when we get into the readings and looking at that to kind of see what the probability is for someone to kind of tilt more into their shadow side. No, here's the thing, none of us are exempt. You know, none of us walk around all light, right? You know, so, but the thing is like, how often does someone dip into their shadow, or is someone more primarily in their shadow versus in their, you know, versus in their light dimension of themselves and their archetypes? And so we begin to look at that. There's several factors to look at in the soul profile. Some of the things, the energy position, based upon the archetypes that's combined, based upon the house alignment, based upon the situations that, you know, people face inside the, we call the journey paths. We also capture that and see how that measures. And we get that measurement from basically the house position and based off your soul matrix, where your numbers fall at. But those are more technical and more things, you know, they we get into the weeds of things. But I just want to mention that in the scope of the Living Soul profile, there's a lot of different information that comes across to help us understand. But just for today, you know, for tonight, understand what I want to introduce is the soul. Our soul archetypes have built in them some policing core values, and we call those governing core values, to help each soul archetype to be in its maximal or its optimal state. Okay, so remember, there are four numbers with inside our soul profile. And these four numbers, based off our date of birth, we refer to them as your soul numbers. So there's four numbers that we identify as your soul numbers, and these numbers shows up in your soul profile, and they fall up under your moon archetype, under your sun archetype, under your earth archetype, under your living soul archetype. Okay, so going forward, I know some, it's funny, I had some people DM me, like, you know, hey, you know, will we need any, should we have a notebook? And I said, that's a good question. So I encourage y'all that's really locking in to this, you know, to have your own living, you know, your soul to soul conversation notebook. So that way, if you're taking notes or anything like that, or you're just trying to follow as we go into more episodes, you'll begin to see certain things play out and unfold as you begin to take little notes from the things that I might share as we get into this. So here's the thing, if you are taking notes, I want you to draw four squares from left to right. Draw four squares left to right. And these squares are going to represent the four soul archetypes. Okay, once you write those four squares from left to right, four separate squares, then on top of each square, you're going to write the astral archetype. So on top of the first square, you could put the letter M or put moon. The second square, you could put the letter S there or put sun. Or the third square, you could put the E above that or put earth. And over the fourth square, you could put LS, or you can write living soul. And I'm doing that so that way visually you can follow what I'm saying in this episode. And I don't want to get semi-technical and you lose track to what I'm saying, so I'm just having you write these four squares out, because inside these squares I'm going to share with you an example, okay, of the soul archetype numbers where they align up under, and I'm going to talk about how it traces to the soul in you, okay? And some of you that know me personally, you know, I love music, I love soulful music, I love, you know, neo soul, jazz, and some of you know I love some Jill Scott. And Jill Scott just had a birthday, so I said, you know, we can tap into Jilly from Philly and use her soul profile as an example for us to follow. Again, I'm not gonna do a real reading on it, I'm just going to use her as a reference to just point to some traceability in her soul based off her soul profile and what we're going to be covering today. Okay, so have those four squares right there, and we'll begin to plug in the numbers. Matter of fact, we go ahead and plug in Jillie from Philly's number now. So Jill's numbers are 4. So under the first square, put, you know, write 4 inside the square. The second square, right inside there, 4 again. So we see there's 2 4s. Then under the earth square, that third square, write in the number 1. And then the fourth square, write in the number 9. Okay. And this is Jill Scott. And I think all of us know who Jill is. But this is Jill Scott's soul profile based off her birth date. Now, each of these numbers are assigned or they reveal certain aspects of our soul outline and how our soul expresses itself, how it moves, and so forth. Okay. So today, I want us to focus in on the soul. That's why today's episode, we're talking about the soul in you. The soul, I think a lot of us already know, is considered as the inner nature of us, the inner nature of you. The soul is also referred to the seat of the mind, will, and emotions. The soul is also that psychology of us. It's a psychology of you. The soul is also the transpersonal you. And we mentioned transpersonal. The transpersonal you is that part of you and myself that can move and think beyond our own personal limit and identity. In other words, the soul within us can move beyond our conditioning from life, from our own self-limitations based off our own inhibitions that we have in our own selves or based off our own self-perception. Despite all that, the soul is able to move beyond those limitations based off our own personal identity. Also, the soul is able to move outside of the body, right? It's trans, it's has a transmigrating capability. A lot of us experience things in our dreams, our soul traveling. A lot of us has experienced astral projection. Some of us are more conscious to astral project, and we can do that. The bottom line is, what I'm saying is one part of the soul is behind the experience in life. The soul is behind the experience of life. The soul is mobile. The soul is not just restricted to our physical body. The soul has an ability to move beyond that limitation. It also move beyond the mental limitation of the identity that we're trying to act out a lot of times. A lot of us, until we maybe have discovered our purpose or have that sense of awareness, we're probably more likely operating inside our false self. In other words, the expectations from others, the approval of others, shaping from family background, environmental impressions, and et cetera. And if we haven't went through the process, we understand or got tuned with ourselves, like, yo, this is what I really am. This is who I really, you know, here on this earth to do, what I'm really trying to carry out. Then there's probably a high chance and probability that you have really fashioned your life around the false self and not around your true self. Okay. And so when you start to really get more into your true self, you begin to move past some of the indoctrinations in those impressions that comes through the matrix, you know, upon us. And so as we begin to do that, it's interesting, we get a little more free with inside ourselves to the point where we start to recognize and become more sensitive to the soul within us. And as you become more sensitive to the soul within us, you start to understand that the soul is transpersonal. There's a transpersonal capability within yourself where your consciousness is even beyond how you see yourself, based on what I'm saying. Okay. So that's the soul. Now, this is what I want everyone to key in on when I talk about the soul, because there's going to be a connection with me being able to trace the soul archetypes within the soul, or that's representing the soul of us. And today we're using Jill Scott as an example. based off of her four soul numbers, 4419. The soul, check this out. The soul is also the animating principle within us. So it's that act, it's that active anime, it's that animating principle that gives life to us, behind us. The soul is also the actuating cause of us. In other words, it's the cause behind who we are. It's not the effect behind who we are. It's the inner driving cause of who we are. It's the actualizing cause behind you and I. That is also the soul. Remember, the soul is the animating principle. So this is the game changer. Now, the soul is also the spiritual principle embodied in human form, because we're humans, or embodied in the universe. So the soul is actually the spiritual principle embodied in human form and also within inside the universe. Now we're gonna go a little more layers, a little more deeper on these defined definitions of the soul as it relates to the living soul, as it relates to me begin to start tracing the outline of the soul that's active within us. So for clarity, within you and I's soul is an active animated principle. And we're able to have four different active animated principles that holds more gravity in us. Remember, there's four different soul numbers. There's four different archetypes. Now they can be repeated, they could be doubled, they could be tripled, they could be quadrupled, or it could be, you know, each individual number. So each number by itself is connected and enjoined with a principle. Remember in the first episode, I said the living soul guidance numerology system is orchestrated around universal principles and laws. We're not talking about man-made laws or anything like that. We're talking about cosmic principles and laws, okay? And so when you revert and think back to that, then looking at these very defining definitions of the soul as the animating principle and the actualized cause behind us, or the spiritual principle embodied in human form and in the universe, okay? So without all this work, what's really saying? First of all, when I use the term soul archetype, the soul archetype technically is an embodiment of an active principle. Okay? And I'll revisit that. So in other words, the soul is the first body, which is not physical, right? It's not the physical body, but the soul is inside the body. So it's the first body, because we have more than one bodies. You know, that's, and so you might, I don't want to confuse you on that. I'm also a Thai yoga therapist, and we understand there's different bodies. So that's where I'm coming from. But there's different bodies. But the spiritual principle is an embodiment in human form. So our soul is connected to a principle. Now, based on our soul profile, we have up to four primary different universal principles, or they can repeat themselves, they can triple themselves, or they could be quadruple, that is actualizing or generating the cause behind our personality, behind how we're moving, behind what we're attracting in life, behind what we're engaging, behind our motives and intentions. In life, there are these principles that we're giving body to. So our soul archetype, I didn't want to give it to today, but since I'm talking about this, I kind of can lightly mention it. The soul archetype is basically the personification of a universal principle, okay? And the connection is when you start to look, you break down what the soul is. Remember, it's an animating principle. So we're identifying the animating principle that's behind us. And we're looking at Jill Scott's soul profile today to recognize those animating principles and how they're showing up and how they and how does it look in reference to her without going too deep into, you know, reading her. Okay. So when we talk about the term human, human refers to a God mind. So a spiritual principle is an embodiment of our God consciousness. And we look at the term universe, you split that word universe, unifying verses, and that symbolizes principle, right? And so the universe is operating, orchestrated by principles, unifying principles. And we acknowledge 9 universal principles that are primary, that's influencing, oscillating different forces and so forth throughout this whole life experience. Okay? So what I want you to do is look at those 4 boxes. I know I said a mouthful right there, but the bottom line is that the soul is also an animated principle. The soul is where we're trying to acknowledge and identify. Basically what I'm doing today is identifying the different principles that's shaping the soul of Jill Scott. So Jill Scott's soul numbers are 4419. All right, and so the number four, we identify that as the soul lover. And we see that she has 2 of those. The 1 we identify as the soul nurturer. The 9 we identify as the soul protector. Okay, and so that is the soul archetype. That's the embodiment of a principle. So some are like, okay, what's the principle? Well, the principles behind the soul lover is the principle of gender, the universal principle of gender. And we have 2 of those because she has 2 4s. So the principle of gender is very strong in her soul profile. When we go look at the number 1, which is the soul nurturer, the principle that's behind the nurturer is the principle of vibration. When we look at the number 9, the principle behind the number 9 is, a lot of us have heard this, the universal principle of cause and effect. Okay. So going back to the principle of gender, and I'm just going to summarize this real short, so I'm not going to get into the whole definition of it and so forth. But I'm going to talk about what it moves around. Okay, so the principle of gender moves around harmony, stability, and preservation. Okay? And that's the principle of gender. So that's one of the things generating behind Jill Scott's soul profile. The principle of vibration, it moves around attraction and repulsion. The principle of cause and effect, that moves around consequences and possibilities. Now, like I say, everything in life is possible inside of the realm of cause and effect. If it is aligned and is not and is within those principles and laws, it's possible to achieve, it's possible to manifest. So Jill Scott has a combination of the principle of gender, vibration, and cause and effect that's behind her soul numbers 4419. Now, we'll go over more if we're going to trace it even more. So as of right now, we just identified the animating principles behind Jill Scott's soul numbers and her soul profile. Okay? That's why I had you write these 4 boxes out so that way you kind of can follow and visualize. Now, there's something that we refer to as a domain. And so there's a domain. In other words, domain is the operative spiritual knowledge or the operative knowledge that oversees a particular area or has a different influence. So with these principles that are behind these soul archetypes are also or fall up their subject up under a domain. So the principle of gender, the domain that kind of oversees that is referred to as pleasure and artistry. Interesting. Jill Scott is an artist. We can see that very strong in her. She has 2/4. So we see Jill Scott, we see she's very expressive, very sensual. She's also very in tune with her sexual energy. That is all in line with the principle of gender. That's falling up under the domain of pleasure and artistry. Also, that domain also highlights aesthetics, self-expression and happiness, connection, relationships. That's all falls under the pleasure and artistry domain. The other next domain that oversees the principle of vibration is commitment and personal growth. Okay. And if you draw your mind back to the number one, which is up under the earth archetype, the earth archetype is the sense of balance. So Jill Scott, for her to feel a sense of balance, for her to feel comfortable in certain environments, there's a level of commitment and devotion and personal growth and a sense of nurturing that she really enjoys. And also feeling be able to be validated in the sense of acceptance. So she's going to feel very comfortable where she's accepted. She's going to be very comfortable where there's a sense of nurturing there. She's going to be very comfortable where she can evolve in personal growth. And people that are around in her environment, there's a level of dedication that she desires to sense and feel from those in her close proximity. Okay, so that's what these numbers are showing. Also, the next domain that oversees the soul protector is conflict and security. So that oversees the ability to, you know, to engage in conflict resolution. A search for stability. So interesting. So we see the word stability jumps up twice based off the domains association. So there's a search of stability that falls up under that conflict and security. Also, there's an aspect to stand for what it believes in, even to the point of engaging in conflict to achieve it or to protect it. So there's an aspect up under Jill Scott where she has no problem with engaging in conflict for what she stands for, what she believes in. Okay, so these are associated and assigned to her soul profile based on her soul numbers. Okay. Now, what does that look like socially, right? What does that look like socially? So I know I'm saying a lot. Well, how does gender look socially? The principle of gender look like socially? Well, first of all, anything in life you see that has duality in it, that represents, that's gender in the social form. When you see the complementary of action, that, you know, because our life is experienced inside a sense of duality. So we understand gender, you know, the masculine, androgynous, and feminine energies serve as a triune force inside the duality of life. And so that's how it looks socially. Also, we recognize sexual energy. That's in line with gender. We see that socially, we see it in, you know, just expression, right? We see it in music, we see it on social media, etc. Gender relationships, a variety of type relationships, different type romantic relationships, platonic relationships, work relationships, whatever that might look, that's the social look of gender. Also, embracing the alignment with your desires, people moving, right? People moving in their desires, people engulfing in their desires. That's a social look of gender. The social look of vibration, we hear a lot of people nowadays talk about emotional intelligence. Well, that's the social look of the principle of vibration showing itself in the social fabric of life. The emotional awareness, being able to transmute feelings. One minute I'm mad, another minute, you know what? I overreacted. I'm gonna adjust my attitude, so forth. That's the principle of vibration in the social look of it. Okay. And then you talk the social look of the principle of cause and effect, the sense of accountability, right? Holding things accountable, having adaptive decision making, being able to adapt and change your decision making where it's necessary, being able to reflect on past actions, exercising mindful choices. So that's the social look of the principle of cause and effect that's behind the soul protector, of course. And so this is just the layout of Jill Scott's soul as we trace the animated principles behind each of her soul archetype numbers. Now, before I close out of this, I would like to tap into, well, I want to highlight something about Jill. We know Jill is very radiant. You know, those double fours, the soul lover. One of the quality of soul lovers, they have that hypnotic charm. We see that on Jill Scott. She smiles. You know, like with me, I love me some Jill. Jill can smile at me and I'm going to melt, right? Her voice is angelic. It brings you in. When you listen to Jill Scott's music, it just makes you want to harmonize, right? It makes you want to just to connect. She just, that's just her vibe. That's the vibe that comes through her, but that's her soul archetype emanating through, you know, through sound, okay? Then she's in touch with her emotions. She's in touch with emotions from the four, the soul lover, but she's also very in touch with emotions with the one, the soul nurturer. And actually the one, the soul nurturer, it falls in line with the division of herself. In other words, the emotional part of herself. The four falls in line with the sexual part of herself. And the nine in Jill Scott's living soul, that falls in with the willpower. Okay. So Jill, when you look at her soul, you know, soul archetypes and her soul profile, we see that she's a mixture of the sexual part of herself, the emotional part of herself, and the willful part of herself. Okay. Now, within inside herself, or inside, let's say inside relationships, when I look at the nine in reference in relation to the four, there's a gravity there that y'all might understand, but I know there's a gravity there. And that gravity is it creates an imbalance. And so in Jill Scott's relationships, she probably experiences cycles of emotional guardedness. And she probably experienced some fear of entrapment. So one thing you see right here in Jill Scott's soul profile layout is that she probably she's in relationships because she's the four is very about relationships. The four is very strong about individuality, connecting, deep connections. But because she has the nine in her soul profile, it may create an imbalance, and the imbalance will look like emotional guardedness. So Jill's a part of Jill Scott where she's very emotionally guarded. She likes to connect deeply, but she's emotionally guarded until she feels very comfortable, right? Till she sees a level of what? Commitment, a level of nurturing, a level that she feels like she can continue to grow, that she's not going to feel stifled. When she's getting that, that's her one. That's her one that falls up under the earth. Then she might be able to open up and she can feel more comfortable. But just due to the makeup in her soul profile, she probably has a lot of periods inside relationships where she's emotionally guarded. And so that shows up in like mistrust, or just being selective with vulnerability or trying to protect vulnerabilities and so forth. And none of it's really exempt from none of this stuff, but this is just some things that I just see real quick that just jumps out based off of these numbers right here. Okay, and then also the fear of entrapment. One thing about an artist, and let me share this. One thing I since I've been doing this for a couple of years, I've been noticing an interesting trend, and I'm still paying attention. I notice with artists or entertainers, they have either the four, the five, a nine, or a 6 in their soul profile. And based off of observing, definitely see a lot of 9s, a lot of 4s associated with artists. You see Jill Scott, she's an artist, she has a 4 and a 9. So it makes sense why she's a great actor. You know, she's a great poet and very expressive in her music. It fits her. Some other notable entertainers that you might know, like Prince. Prince, he has a 6 in his soul profile and a 9. He's actually a soul protector like Jill Scott. Now, it's interesting. Here's a perfect example. Prince, when he was operating in his soul protector as a 9, you saw a lot of him exuding the androgynous energy in his earlier career. Then you start seeing him become very an advocate, right? Very strong about the truth and the quest of truth and sharing that truth, being expressive about it, and then also trying to hold people accountable. Well, guess what? With Prince, he has the 6, 7, 5, and the 9. And so Prince, in his latter year, he was operating the 5. The 5 is about advocating and being about the truth. His 7 was about challenging and holding things accountable. And 6 is that intuitive part, that androgynous part. And then 9 is also that expressive part. What's interesting with the 9 is, because the 9 is very in tune with his body, it's the performing, I'm going to get into the 9s deeper later on, but it's very interesting why. I'm going to explain why the 9s are connected to a lot of entertainers, a lot of actors. Jonathan Majors has a 9 in his stuff. Chris Brown has a 9 in his. Rouse Tresvant from New Edition, he has a 9, in his profile. I believe Whitney Houston as well, she has, I think, a double 9. So I'm just seeing this interesting trend just of different celebrities and stuff like that they share similar soul archetype numbers. Now, they express differently because based off of the combination. So when we look at Jill Scott, she operates as a soul protector as a 9, but it'll look totally different than how Prince operating his. Jill Scott, you see there's a lot of feminine energy, a lot of feminine. When you look at the energy position of her, very strong feminine energy, obvious. But then she also has a strong neutral position. And I'll get into what those really mean, how that shows up, how it influences our personality inside our soul archetypes. So Jill Scott is just the embodiment. When you put all that stuff together, she's a very connective person, which probably shows why she's very protective about her personal space. Because her personal space, she's willing to to connect deeply. And because she probably knows it about herself, she has to, be more safeguarding of that. But she's very expressive, very radiant. She has this hypnotic charm about her that mesmerizes a lot of people. I think that's why a lot of us are loyal to her music and what it represents. Okay, so I know this second episode, I probably shared a lot, but I really want to. I'm just laying a lot of the groundwork so everyone, as you get into it, you can just understand these different aspects of the living soul. So what we did today is really talk about what that soul is, and the soul is the animating principle, and I identified the animating principle behind the soul of Jill Scott. We all have key certain animating principles operating inside all of us, and it's going to express itself differently based off our soul combination, based off the experiences that we're having, based off of what people are bringing and projecting to us. It will incite or arouse a certain level of response from the soul archetype influence that's behind all of us. Okay, so I look forward to touch back down with episode 3. So today was episode 2, and we talked about the soul in you. And we used Jill Scott as an example to get just a little glimpse of the soul in her. Of course, I didn't go super deep, even in reading it, but this is just to trace the animated principle behind her that shapes how she moves and what she expresses and what we witness. Remember, the soul also is the activating cause behind us. So we see, the actualizing cause. So we see what's actualizing this expression behind her. All we see that she represents is she's showing the embodiment, the visible display, the perceivable reality of key principles that shows itself inside the soul. And the soul has this archetype. There's certain, qualities that's inside that archetype. And when it's mixed with other archetypes, it brings about this combination that shows across an expression in what we witness in the social realm of life. And so we see Jill Scott matches, of course, what her soul profile is of. So I just want to draw that connection in the most simplest way that I was able to. So hopefully it came across in a digestible way. And just listen to it over and over again. This is available. So again, so as I close out, this was episode 2, The Soul in You. And if you want to support, join our text community, just text 1-833-475-0111 and then type soul to soul. So 1-833-475-0111, then type soul to soul, capitalize the S, S-O-U-L, put the number 2, capitalize S, S-O-U-L. All right, and then if you want to support, when you text that, if you want to become a soul to soul conversations supporter, you can just go ahead and click that link that's shared in that text. Okay, you also be able to get alerts, different motivational, inspirational, or some soul guidance type of maybe some random text that will come across to you, and also give you a heads up on alert when I will be sharing more content, while I'll be going live or hosting another podcast for you to check out and to download, to listen. I appreciate everybody's support. Keep everything easy. Choose to be calm. And well loved to touch back down again.